unicorn cupcake for being straight jerk?
Yes.
All right, come here. Get a straight jerk cupcake. For being a pill.
I'm just trying to be annoying.
You are annoying. You were very successful. Congratulations.
Thanks.
What a...
Unfortunately for Amanda Parker, the teacher that you just saw right there, she will not be returning back to Springfield Public Schools, according to Michelle Malkin, who is an incredible reporter and well-renowned journalist. It appears that calling a minor the word for a phallus, that you shouldn't word, the no-no word, the big D word, is apparently not part of teacher's credentials. Now, this is happening all across the country. What was happening there, if you hadn't seen it already, is this lovely woman, Amanda, who's wearing a mask and is clearly a conspiracy theorist wearing this inside, decided that only the gay kids were going to get cupcakes because we now live in the GAE, as we talked about last episode, the gay American empire, and only gays get sugar. Because, I mean, you know, only the gays get them. And the straight kid was like, well, can't straight people get them? Well, it apparently seems that if you're straight and you want sugar, that makes you a dick. People are fighting back. And lucky for us, Amanda Parker is not going to be working there anymore. We're going to be looking at the way people are fighting back, including in the schools, the way countries are fighting back, like India against big tech. And we're also going to talk a little bit about how we're finally finding out the FBI's connection to all of these mass violent events and why they are truly the ones pulling the strings here on this episode of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have confetti of color coming down. My name is Elijah Schaefer. I'm your top 17 host. At least some of you, I've made it to number 13. I am joined in the studio by the lovely Savannah Hernandez, who we just got back from Austin, Texas.
We did.
And we did not meet with Alex Jones.
Most definitely not. We did not shoot a special with him. That will be on Blaze TV.
We do not have a special coming out soon, an exclusive, where I basically just drink vodka with Alex Jones for an hour and talk about DMT elves. That did not happen, and it is not coming out at blazetv.com/Elijah very soon. Don't forget to sign up. Before we jump into today's story, guys, speaking of drinking, it's hot summer. White boy summer's in full effect. Hot girl summer's in full effect. We know what's going down, and that's why it's so important that you have the right drinks at the right time. But it can get overwhelming shopping for what you want to drink. There's so many new brands out, especially with wine, and it's hard for me to find stuff, which is why I use First Leaf to just make the decisions for me and give me the best wine that I possibly can find. This is a fully customizable wine club that sends curated boxes of wine that are perfect for you. They have more award-winning wine than anyone else. And I'm going to tell you this, with First Leaf, there's no guesswork, no misguided recommendations. You don't get gross wine. And they know what you like. They talk to you, you figure it out, and they keep curating the box so that they more and more find out what you love, so that as you use their service, it just gets better. Their wine shipment is entirely customizable to your preferences. And unlike those big box wine memberships, First Leaf uses one-of-a-kind algorithm, and they give you your best recommendation next by your feedback. And I love that. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/offensive. That is tryfirstleaf.com/offensive. And you get 6 bottles of wine for just $29.95 and free shipping. Again, go to tryfirstleaf.com/offensive and get 6 bottles for $29.95 and free shipping. Get them while you can. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/offensive. So obviously we're talking about the fact that people are fighting back. NPR just announced something very important. Hungary has passed legislation that bars sharing LGBTQ content with people under the age of 18. It comes after the ruling Conservative Party passed another law making it impossible for trans people to change the gender markers on their documents. It looks like as we take the clown pill, and as not Alex told us yesterday, as we're going to find out, there is a pill after the clown pill that you're going to find out in the special. Can't talk about it now.
Definitely.
There's
not
a
now.
Pill after this. There's a pill after the clown pill that you take. People are fighting back because you know what I think, Savannah? I don't even think these are just Christian people. I think these are people who are saying, look, it's one thing for me to let you be gay. It's one thing for me to say that's fine if you make unicorn cupcakes, but you've done this at the exclusion of the masses. Most people are not gay. Most people are not trans. And you are now making a society that puts them as the losers. And we're still the majority, so we're going to fight back.
Yeah, you know, seeing all of these tweets and especially this, it's kind of crazy to me that foreign countries are more based than America at this point, and they're the ones that are actually pushing back against the GAE, as we now call it. And, you know, here in America, we're still pandering to, again, the minority in our population.
Yeah, and that teacher, the people fought back. They got her fired, and that's what you need to do. You need to get the people fired. You need to get people in legislation. I'm even now beginning to think that possibly I'm open to being a part of state legislature in Texas sometime. I know that's crazy. I used to never say I'd never get into politics. I'm starting to feel like maybe state politics are somewhere in the future. That would be really cool. I know I'm going to get roasted and people are going to paint me out to be a horrible person. I'm already married. Someone does that for free. Bring it on. No, I'm just kidding. I have a great wife. She doesn't roast me.
Yeah, let me just subtly roast my wife real quick, guys, on my show.
No, but the madness is here. Like, for instance, if we go to video 5 here, this is the madness that we're fighting against. We're not fighting against people just being gay and just being like, yo, that's gay. We're fighting against things like this. Our KO pronouns, literally, I don't know what's even happening. I don't even know what I'm reading anymore in the scripts. I never know. Watch this.
You've heard of neo pronouns.
Okay, we have.
But what about archaic pronouns?
Some more she made up.
These are the pronouns used in Old English. As we can see here, the third person pronouns are pretty different on all counts, but let's take a look at the neuter pronouns. Heat, him, and heats. Heats was the Old English precursor to it, although Old English also has weet and geet, so it doesn't feel as
important. Can you pause this?
Yes, give me 2 seconds.
All
right.
First of all, you could only need to censor this episode, Savannah. I know we're on a time crunch, so you just put a warning at the front that it contains language. I'll try to watch my tongue just because I'm a Christian and I should be better at this anyways. But let's talk about this. So we've gotten to the point in society where people just make things up.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, but archaic pronouns, it sounds like something somebody made up while they were high. And also, can we bring this up too, which is alarming? This isn't a book. So is this a school book that they're teaching people things like this? This is what the problem. Are they teaching kids this in school? And I know I sound like that boomer, like, are they really telling the kids this stuff? No, I'm asking, this is in print. Do we know if this is a school lesson or if this is just like Pride magazine?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a school lesson, but I am looking at the background here a little bit more zoomed in. And on that top, it does say personal pronouns in Old English. And it has all of these pronouns. So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if we were teaching kids this in public school. I mean, look at the teacher who just melted down over gay cupcakes and look at all of the radical critical race theory that we're constantly seeing pushed on our children every day. So very well could be.
Right. I mean, maybe our KO pronouns. Let's keep watching this. I want to see what she says this is.
Heat is my friend. I saw Heat yesterday. I borrowed his car. I gave him a hug. These are pretty similar to the modern he, him pronouns, so they may not be for everyone.
Okay, stop this. I knew this is what they were going to do. So now they're saying, well, in the past, people had other pronouns, like heat and him. It's like, yeah, also, you know what they did to gays in the past?
Ooh.
You want to look to the past to know how to represent people? You're so unhappy with your current condition because you are miserable because you believe that the state and the system is what's the problem, not internal issues that can be reconciled with God. And so you're looking outward for an inward solution. And so you're going to the future. You're going to the past. And this is what they always do. They always go to the past and they're always going to the past. But As I said, I meant, they go to the future. They should go to the future. America used to be built on the new beginnings. God's mercies are new every morning. Even if you're not a Christian, you're an atheist, you know that you can start things over. You can always begin again. It's never the last place. But these people are so obsessed with the past that they have lost touch with the present. And they have started pushing this kind of agenda, which is why I can go back to my screen, Savannah. Hungry is saying, look, adults can watch this. We can process this. We can say this is retarded. And I'm going to tell you, I'm allowed to say that word now because Chuck Schumer says it. The Democrat majority leader is saying that it's okay to use that word again. So I've taken the approval and I'm really grateful for that from the Democrats leading the example. Go ahead and play the Chuck Schumer video where he's brought retarded back into vogue. Thank you, sir.
At my whole career, I wanted to build in when I first was assemblyman. Mm-hmm. They wanted to build a congregate living place for retarded children.
There we go.
The whole neighborhood was against.
There we go. We can all say it again.
Hard R, sir.
Hard R.
Chuck Schumer's based.
He wasted no time.
He wasted no time. He was like, them kids was retarded. And it's like, and I like how the people are watching and there's like some really cheap green screen graphic. Like, I don't know what's going on there with the city.
I'm like, Chuck Schumer, how long have you been in office for? How long have you been a part of, you know, the political space and your webcam
you
is
have
in
like,
360p? Yeah, you have what like, is going on?
You have his 360p webcam with Chuck Schumer and he's touching his nose. The person has like, the building behind her looks like it's on like Cialis or like Viagra. It's just like an awkward shape and tilting too far pointed up.
Oh, gosh.
This is what, and there's a lot going on here, but this is what I'm telling you. This is why when you meet these people in real life, which we do,
yeah.
They don't want to answer questions because they don't actually know what's going on.
Never.
But they're willing to tell your kids to chop the pee-pee, to fillet the pee-pee. They do. They want to take your kids' private parts and remove them.
Yeah, yeah, that is a very common thing in the leftist space nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, and look, so this is what's happening is we live in two worlds, though. We've been talking about this, the two countries. And to further bring up that example, this show has no longer become just shooting crap. If you're a regular viewer of the show, if you're a blind listener, please remember the most important thing is to leave that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I'm telling you, we are growing this. I'm going to tell you something amazing. I can't tell you exact numbers because I don't know this, but you guys have been so amazing leaving reviews and subscribing on there that the numbers that the network wanted us to get to by December, we reached last week.
Wait, can I just, woo!
Yeah, so
let's go.
Like, everyone at Blaze gets surprised with the censorship of how supportive you guys are. And so thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm not even joking. Thank you for being such amazing supporters. It is you guys that keep the show on the air and the reason why we can continue to talk about this. Chuck Schumer is the reason why we can call people retards. You're the reason why we have a platform to do it on. So thank you very much, Chuck Schumer. Thank you very much, you guys, for that.
Shout out to the SOBs.
Shout out to the slightly offensive backers. Well, let's talk about the two worlds that we live in. So if we go to the mainstream media here, in the same day, you have these two stories that come out, and we're going to get into some crazy wild and out. White boy summer is wilding out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have this man, clearly Caucasian.
Clearly.
Filled with the joy of Christ.
He does not look like 21 Savage at all.
No.
Mm-mm.
No, he does not.
Nope.
It says black. Oh, wait a second. Oh, I guess I was mistaken. Black people commit crimes. Something you learn every day here at Slightly Offensive.
I think this is the first time I've seen black suspect's race in the headlines, too. It's usually just a suspect or...
I didn't know.
You know, some...
I never knew it. I thought...
You learn something new every single day. You thought that you were smart.
I thought black don't crack.
You thought you were informed.
I thought black don't crack. Apparently black smoke crack.
Ooh.
Apparently they do bad things. Okay. Well,
I don't believe it.
Listen to this headline. It's in the mainstream media, so it must be true.
Okay, what is it?
Black suspect's shooting spree that wounded five was motivated by race.
That's
wow.
That's not good.
So
that sounds like a hate crime.
So what I'm going to give credit to New York Post, who leans right. It's still opposition media, but New York Post has some very good journalists that work there. Mm-hmm. They were willing to name the race of the suspect, which I don't even care about in the real world, but due to the fact that they only selectively do it, let at least be consistent. Then number two, the shooting spree that wounded five. Can I remind you, just this weekend here in Texas, 19 people were shot and one was killed in Austin, Texas, where we definitely weren't at the InfoWars Studios filming a special for blazetv.com/Elijah that's coming out soon. That's not actually, but it would be if we did it.
And this is where you should go if you did want to watch that.
Yeah, if you want to watch that, we're going to start doing subscriber-exclusive content, just so you know, because I know you guys have been asking for that, so we're going to start doing that, and we've been doing it, and we're spending money on it, and it's epic. And we definitely did not get permission to borrow Alex's battle tank for our own project for the future. That's definitely also not about to happen. Anyway.
None of that awesome stuff is happening.
We've been seeing this layout where we've been finding this miscommunication, and this is what the whole society is about. It's about making everyone think that everyone's queer when they're not, making it think that white people are the ones committing the hate crimes when they're not, which we'll talk about. And this is what it is. It's like, you see this, and this is happening. There's a black man that shot 19 people in Austin, but nobody wanted to talk about it because... Whenever the suspect is black, I know this is like beating a dead horse, people don't want to mention it because the narrative is same day, right-wing media, Daily Caller says, on the same day, Merrick Garland, Attorney General, labels white supremacy the top domestic violent extremist threat. And the only reason why white supremacy is a top violent extremist threat is, and I'm willing to say this on air, Savannah, and I know Ricky's going to be pissed, but... the reason why they're the biggest threat is because that's who the FBI is gaslighting to commit the crimes. They're looking for disenfranchised white people, white young men, to commit mass shootings. And I would say at least half, if not the most, of these seemingly sporadic and timely mass chaos events, including Las Vegas, we now know, were the FBI was involved in them. And we know that the Las Vegas shooting, that's why we don't have a motive, was definitely... Patrick Cowley did confirm this, and this is true. I'm not going to get into the details because YouTube will say that I'm lying and I'm a conspiracy theorist, but that had to do with a botched operation with intelligence agencies. And now we're finding out from Darren Beatty, who was a guest of the show recently with John Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
Darren Beatty, who's a proud Jew and an amazing journalist, it says in his bio, amazing guy, found out that actually the FBI was, a lot of the people involved in the Capitol riots were indeed informants.
Yeah.
And we saw this as well with pretty much every situation in this country. Whenever there's something that seems catastrophic, that's un-American, then we don't know mm-hmm. how it could happen, that our intelligence agencies have a hand in it. Or Mossad does. So it's like the CIA, Mossad, and the FBI together. It's like Israel and the United States together. Our intelligence agencies sort of work hand in hand and are up to some sketchy stuff.
But as soon as we start talking about that, all of these intelligence agencies and our media just slap white supremacy on it like mayonnaise. And there we go. Bada bing, bada boom. No one's worried about it anymore.
Right. But we are fighting back because we now know, we know that the FBI is involved in these things. And that's why they say, and I'm going to tell you, this is very, very interesting information. I laugh at this. So many people that I know from this movement, not reporters, but people that mm-hmm. were activists that I know, not necessarily my friends, but people that I know, and I'm familiar with their faces, are FBI informants. And there's so many people that get accused of being feds that are not feds. But there's a lot of people that do work with the feds, because I'm telling you, what the FBI does is they approach you as a man with 30 years solitary confinement, like an animal, like a torture.
Yeah.
Unless you work with them. That's how manipulative they get. And I know this has happened to people. I mm-hmm. personally know them. They don't want to be working with the feds, but they have to. Or they make you work with the SPLC and with different groups to rat on other white supremacists, which are just white right-wing people, in order for immunity. And there are multiple people, and Lauren Southern and I were talking about this, that we know people, similar people, who are in this position, that they're forced to work for the left in regards for their own freedom. And it's political bullying. It's happening in our country today, and I'm really glad Darren Beatty's starting to shed light on it with hard fact-based evidence, because I get scared to say this stuff because I know that the FBI is not my fan.
100%. And you know, the thing too, Elijah, about the sixth and everything that's been happening since that period of time, we don't see all of the stories, and they're not headlined, of the Trump supporters who have been put in solitary confinement, have been jailed, have their houses raided. We've talked about it so many times. But like you're saying, the intelligence agency and our government at this point is politically persecuting our citizens. And, you know, even people were talking about, too, they were like, Putin doesn't even do that. We all hate Putin. We all hate Russia, apparently, in this country. He doesn't even do that to his own citizens.
I'm not a Russian operative, and I'm not, like, pro-Russia.
Mm-hmm.
I just, the global politics makes so much more sense when, like, I'll say this, China is definitely a much greater threat to the United States than Russia. And then
you know what? So I just got into politics too, probably what, like 4 or 5 years ago. And so I never understood like the big deal with Russia. And my parents were like, yeah, it's kind of a boomer thing, because back in the day, like during the Cold War with Russia and everything, it was a big deal. And Russia was a big threat to America. But now again, like the Zoomers and millennials are realizing that China is really the threat that we should be paying attention to. But for some reason, everyone's still focused in on Russia and saying that Putin is like this awful dictator.
And, you know, they want to go to war. That's why they're adding Ukraine to NATO. Eesh. Because they're trying to piss off. They're trying to piss off Russia. They want a war with Putin. And, you know, I'm not the only one, by the way. You think I sound far right blaming the FBI and for stoking the world events? No. I mean, Tucker Carlson of Fox, who's, by the way, become one of the more trustable sources in politics in general, even though he's on mainstream news. I'm not a fan of Fox News itself, but Tucker is great, and his crew, I know a lot, like they're really amazing. He says that, you know, that he has evidence to believe with Darren Beatty that the government did help organize January 6th Capitol riots. And that's my point, is that when I say gaslight us into this, is what they do is we find out with the Whitmer plot as well, that the FBI actually creates scenarios where they gaslight unstable people. If you don't understand what gaslighting means, it's the best way I could point it in this situation is they're basically taunting you. It's like when your sibling's poking you and they're like, hit me, hit me, hit me. And then you go, ah, like in Schitt's Creek, in that scene where the mom slaps the crap out of the mayor. I don't know if you've seen that one. She's like, da, 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 and she hits him.
Oh,
and then
they're
like,
no.
And then your little sibling goes, dad, 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 you hit me. My
Why
sibling
did
hit
you
me.
Do that?
And they start crying.
I'm
and provoked. That's the government. The government's like, shoots itself in the foot and is like, oh my gosh, white supremacy. And it's like, bro, you are an do you know, I have a problem with this kind of thing. Like, do you know, like, okay. And what they do is, I hate how, like, it's like they make themselves sound good because they're like, well, don't you want to get someone bad off the street? And it's like, bro, if you park my car in the middle of a young neighborhood with a lot of young people, the car's going to get jacked. Okay. Someone's going to steal my tires. Why would I park my car in the middle of these neighborhoods? There's neighborhoods I won't go with my car into Dallas because it will get vandalized or they will steal my tires because the people there are just full of vitality and youthful energy. And that's what young people do. I'm not even joking. So my point is that this is that argument, even with Tim Pool's show of like with Andy getting beat up about like how much you're stoking it. The FBI goes, well, we say white supremacy is the threat. So we're going to go and we're going to go see how far we can get these white supremacists to act upon the government so that for our own protection, we can get them in jail before they act on their own supremacy. And it's like, no, you took some mentally unstable, like anti-government guys who probably are not even politically motivated or don't know a lot. You baited them into committing crimes that you invented. And then you say, look, see, they did attack the Capitol. And it's like, oh, but maybe you guys helped bait them. Because how did BuzzFeed know exactly that they were going to do it before it happened?
See, and the thing too with this, and we can go back historically and look at a lot of these events, and a lot of people are speculating that Charlottesville was similar.
Oh, I've known that.
Yeah, to where that was set up.
We've known that one.
And the thing too with that, because I'm kind of just barely getting into this, because again, too, I've been in this for like maybe 4 years with politics, so I'm kind of just late to the game on some
things. You're like 24 years old, right?
Yeah.
You don't need to make excuses for why at 24 you've only had 4 years of experience in politics. Like, well, most people don't even vote until they're 30.
The point that I'm trying to make with this, though, is that it's interesting to see police response at these specific events. A lot of people talk about in regards to Charlottesville how they like cornered all of the protesters that they knew would clash and fight into like one area. And it's something that we constantly see time and time again with riots. I mean, even in Portland, when I went and covered like the Patriots versus Antifa, the police literally just stood there and like let everyone.
No, this is, I told you, we live in two countries.
Yeah.
So even Representative Matt Gaetz said, Congressman Matt Gaetz calls on FBI Director Christopher Wray to fully disclose the role and involvement of FBI operatives during the January 6th Capitol riot. Now, a lot, obviously, if you go here, I'm pretty sure if you go into search here, I think under trending, let me see if I can get this to zoom out. Yeah. So I think that under the trending tab, I don't even know, oh, there it is, trending, there is definitely a high amount of talk about Putin. The FBI was trending, but it looks like they took it off with 244,000 tweets today.
Yeah, let me see over here too, if it's
they've taken
trending.
It off of trending. It's interesting how the tech companies are not really allowing the truth to get out. It was just on trending.
So yeah,
and it's
basically
off.
Now it's saying off. Tucker Carlson trending with the FBI, but the FBI, of course, is no longer in that trend.
Yeah, and we know the FBI continually knows about mass shootings. They don't stop them. And this is why, before we jump and talk any further, I got to tell you something very important, right? I just tried to buy a house, couldn't. There's no way to get one. They weren't even giving mortgages. I just got a car. I needed one because now we're back in the office and we're moving around a lot. And what did they do? The first thing they wanted to know was, what was my credit score? Now, thank God my credit score is high. So actually in Texas, I bought a car with a shake of the hand and it was really weird. We didn't do paperwork. Anyway, shout out to Sewell dealerships. I had a high score because I took care of it. But a lot of you don't know how to get your score up, how to save money on your car, on your refinancing, on your home. But do you know that the average American has 97 points that they could add to their credit score right now? But they don't have any idea how to get them. It's like, well, what do I do? Well, the data scientist at Scoremaster cracked the code on how. You can actually add 97 points to your credit score like you found money, meaning getting your score up this high can save you thousands of dollars over the life of a loan. I'm not joking with you. These are huge discounts, low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home, leasing a new car, to applying for a credit card. How much can you save by having my credit score high? I think I got like $7,000 probably I saved overall in terms of just like financing and rates. And it's very fast as well. One member raised his credit score 33 points in just 5 days, another 43 points in a couple of weeks. Scoremaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started. And if you hurry right now, you get to try Scoremaster for free, which is pretty epic. I love offering free stuff. That's right. Go to scoremaster.com/offense. That's scoremaster.com/offense to try it today. See how much points you can add to your score and raise it. So when I say that we're being gaslit into a backwards world,
We leave and before we get off of the topic,
we're not getting off of
January,
it.
Or we're not.
No.
Oh, okay, good. Because I was going to say, don't forget too that Joe Biden just had a press conference and he is still reiterating that same lie and repeating that same lie that Capitol protesters killed a police officer on the 6th.
I didn't hear that.
He just said that.
And I never heard that.
Yep.
Except from you.
Yep. He just claimed it now.
How does the president Does he not? That's my point. It's not that he doesn't know. I don't know. It sounds stupid to the audience. It's not that the president doesn't know what happened on January 6th. It's that he does know. And he also knows the narrative lie. And so he's going to not what? Push the truth to the American people, because he's not the president of Americans. He's the president of the GAE. And so he then pushes the lie to continually confuse and push narrative so that his party has power rather than disseminating truth. And nobody cares about the truth anymore. Neither does President Biden.
See, I kind of want to counter that, actually, and say that I truly don't think that Joe Biden knows what's going on, and I don't think that he knows what happened on January 6th. I think that Joe Biden now, with the G7 summit, with NATO, with everything that's going on, he has no idea what's going on in this country. He's constantly bombarded. He's being told at press conferences which reporters to call on, and the reporters are being told which questions to ask him. So I do think that he's completely in the dark. They're basically bombarding Biden with all of this stuff and keeping him busy and, you know, keeping him in the dark about a lot of these things. I don't know. I counter it.
No, well, you know what? It's possible, because people literally are confused. Like, these people that live in the GAE are so backwards. Woke Mob, V Chatty on Twitter was like, meanwhile, the world has gone to hell in a handbasket. Uh-huh. I never even figured out what a handbasket was, but it's going to hell in one. Woke Mob, I know this is going to really break your heart, was like, check, go to my screen, Savannah, was like, Apple banned Grindr from the App Store. Starting the day after tomorrow, you won't be able to buy and sell erotica on eBay. No.
The erotica.
Not the porn from eBay.
Not the nudes.
And then, would you like to buy my nudes? Bid on them right now. Texas just functionally banned strippers under 21 and abortion. We are descending into a Christian dystopia and y'all don't even want to see it. They won't stop. Not illicit gay sex, young strippers, and killing babies. This is a Christian dystopia, damn it. What is happening?
Is this fascism?
I think this is Hitler. We are in Nazi Germany. This is what they meant. Oh, they burned books, but no one asks which ones they burned.
It really bothers me that the government is coming down so hard against all of these things.
No more gay hookups for us.
No more 18-year-old strippers.
How do you think we paid for the broom closet? Exactly. We rob people on Grindr, and then we use that money to fund our strip club for 18-year-olds. And after, what do we do with the babies? Apparently, we like to kill them because we're part GAE citizens. We just made a joke about that. No, but it's not funny. It's just like, dude, that's okay. First of all, Grindr's not banned off of the App Store.
Wait. How do you know that?
There are some things one must not ask. No, I'm just kidding. We just know because we looked it up, and Grindr's not actually being banned from the App Store. No. Sadly, truly, you would think I would be the one who would know that, but Savannah was the one who knew that. Why did you know that Grindr wasn't banned?
Don't ask me how I knew, Elijah. That's none of your business.
People would expect me. They'd be like, oh, yeah, he probably knows.
For sure.
But I actually don't know these things because, unfortunately for you, I have my phone off a lot of times simply because I never know who's listening. And I'm not paranoid. It's true. They've gotten a hold of a lot of my information.
Your FBI agents just really like and miss you, so they like to listen in.
Yeah, well, starting the day after tomorrow, they also are saying, like, we can't buy erotica. This is not happening. This is not a dystopia. And you know that people are so dumb because if you go to video 4, like, these are the kind of people talking about this stuff. They're so backwards that they've confused everything, that they are just perverted, deceived products of a backwards world. Listen to this absolute BS about something they call fat phobia, which is still apparently now a new thing rooted in racism.
Here's your reminder that fat phobia is rooted in racism. As always, if you haven't read this book, go do that.
No.
The main thing to understand is that for the last 300-ish years, white folks have been marketing fatness as a black trait. And this is regardless of whether or not black people individually were actually fat.
I'm sorry, I'm going to pause this and say the fact that she didn't spell folks with an X was very just like non-inclusive of her. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
I had to just jump in and say that.
Also, was irrelevant.
Her hair is
blue.
The
message they spread was that black women specifically were ravenous and uncontrollable, and these barbaric traits made them fat.
Pause. I want to correct her statement and agree with it about black women being ravenous. Let's just take out black and just change it to women.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
Okay. Which is a true statement. Women are crazy.
Fair.
Flip side, thinness was marketed as a white trait. Again, regardless of whether or not individual white people were actually thin, that was irrelevant. The idea was that white women specifically were refined and restrained, and this led them to having delicate, thin bodies. Over the years, these messages have become more subtle, but even today, they are still very prevalent in conversations around race, health, capitalism, and poverty.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Okay, Thaddy.
Wait. Before, too, because as soon as we started recording, as we were about to record, I saw this other video about how if you don't want to be fat, you're inherently fat phobic because you don't want to be obese yourself.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
It was a little rainbow boy. It was a Skittle boy.
It was a skinny guy saying that if you don't want to be fat, that you're fat phobic.
Oh, I tasted the rainbow in that video. I'll tell you that. That was
Sweet
a pack of punch.
Jesus.
And he was like, if you don't want to be fat, you're fat phobic. Dude, I am telling you, I have a friend who I'll be honest. So because I've go up and down with weight, and some of you always think that I'm like gaining and losing weight. I finally found out I have a condition with my lymph nodes.
That
which
condition
causes
is Chick-fil-A.
Fluid to accumulate in my neck and expand and go down. It's actually really sad, and it can lead to all types of cancers. But anyway, things you find out when you're 28. That's weird. My face changes shape all the time. And it's like, oh, because you have a disease.
And your doctor's like, you're dying. You're like, okay, I wasn't expecting that. I thought
no.
I was
do you know that? Do you know that when I was 21 or 22, I thought I was going to die. They thought I had cancer, and
that's kind
of like
terrifying.
My lymphatic system like stopped working. This is how we figured this out. And they were like, oh, you have tumors. Like we do the biopsy, and they were like, you have cancer. We're like 99% sure you have cancer at 22. And that I didn't. I just randomly had these like tumors that developed temporarily in my neck and they went away. I can't explain it in my lymph nodes. I had tumors that went away and it wasn't Hodgkin's lymphoma, but they were like, oh yeah, you have cancer. And it was like, oh shoot. And then it turned out I didn't. So there was like a week of my life while I was waiting for biopsy results that I thought I had cancer at 22. Those of you guys that struggle with disease at a young age, I'm really sorry. It's really tough. And I know those of you that have friends that die from that stuff. That's why it's not a joke. But the backwardsness about the fat phobia thing, if you're one of our blind viewers, she is fat, which I'd rather listen about fatness from a fat person because at least they like to eat and they know this. They know
the
struggle.
At least they have personal experience with it, you know?
Yes.
They've lived it.
Mm-hmm. Ma'am, fat phobia, we just don't want to die. And we also want good sex because sex is great when you're in shape and the partner's in shape. And it's just not as good. Like sex isn't as good. And also it's not as fun. Life isn't as fun when you're not in shape. And I don't mind if you're not in shape, but I don't like when people have problems and then they tell you like, it's good. Like imagine your friend, your friend drinks too much and they're like, oh, Savannah, you should drink more. And if you don't want to drink more, you're a bad person.
You're alcohol phobic.
Yeah. You're an alcoholic phobic.
Yeah, see, my favorite part about these videos too, it's just like, no, I'm not fat phobic. I think I'm just afraid of diabetes, high cholesterol, and an early death.
Right, but these are the targets. These are the targets for everything. This woman is exactly who the government is gaslighting. It's just dumb people who can be taught anything. Look, there's all types of thick black women with big old things everywhere, and it's crazy. And then there's Candace Owens, okay? Like, just because you're black doesn't mean you're thick. And if
True.
You're, it's like there's plenty of thin black girls I've met in my life. Okay. I think it really matters what region you're from and probably the genetics of your parents. Mm-hmm. So that's what matters. And it's like, no, most people in America are fat because they just eat too much and they're lazy and it's just all it is. When I gain weight, it's just because I'm just eating bad food because In-N-Out is freaking amazing. Chick-fil-A is awesome. And sometimes I like grilled nuggets and sometimes I want something good there. So it just comes down to it, man.
Fact check true on all of that.
Fact check. But then you have people like Naomi Sayers, a lawyer who comes back. These are the targets of this. Are like, this is what they're telling us. Unpopular opinion. I just want to let you read it, Savannah.
Okay, great. Unpopular opinion. The best thing young people can do early in their careers is to do sex work on the side because your early career prospects will be unstable, unpredictable, low pay, likely contract work, and very much exploitative.
Yeah.
I feel, I guess I need a side job here, and this is what I should immediately jump to.
You're really making a lot of people excited here.
No.
The comments are going to be gross.
I'm like a Ken doll down there.
Never simp for Sav.
Never.
That is a rule here. There's no simps.
Mm-hmm.
No simps allowed. I am always so disappointed that I was like, I would hope that the show, I've always tried to make the show a little bit of a comedic, sarcastic relief to the real world. My views are not fully expressed on this show. I've never tried to take things too far any direction. I just want to have fun with y'all and laugh and be informed. At the same time, that turned into reporting on riots
and sex work.
No, but yeah, but I mean, I love how the response, she's responding to somebody named Jordan Kong, who's like, unpopular opinion, the best thing young people can do early in their careers is to work on the weekends. And it was like, escalate it next level. The best thing you can do is stick the dildo up the pee-pee.
Oh, you want me to work on the weekends? I one-up you. Yeah, I should just become a prostitute instead.
She says, actually, no weekend, dildo in pee-pee for you. And he's like, ma'am, there was a lot of steps we could have gotten to in between working on weekends.
You didn't have to go that hard, but you went that hard and now
and
we're
like
here.
You just went there.
Yeah.
And it's also to young people. This is why, if we go back to this, I think this is the right tab. Yeah, this makes sense. Why NPR is like, Hungary's like, hey, in America, they're telling you to put the DD in the pee-pee for the money. And let's stop
is
encouraging.
Is that how they talk in Hungary? Is that the Hungarian accent?
That's how my brain thinks. That's.
Oh, man.
Do you know I have no internal dialogue? Does that make me a psychopath?
Is that okay?
I don't talk to myself. I just talk out loud. I only think out loud.
That makes so much sense. The amount of things that I hear come out of your mouth, and I'm like, what?
Yeah,
now I get it.
Kez was like, did you know that some people don't have internal dialogue? I go, oh, you have internal dialogue? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, you don't like talk to yourself through things? I go, no. I might just like think in action, and then I think out loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I process things in real time.
That's essentially what this whole show is Elijah just thinking out loud.
It's me processing things. The show should be called Elijah Processing Things That He Saw on the Internet Last Night While His Wife Was Asleep for 60 minutes straight.
Let's read Elijah's Twitter DMs. That's essentially what this is.
This show is essentially what I read and look at on the internet every day. That's what it is. No, but you know, I'm going back to this. I don't know where we were at. Can you take off the screen for a second, Savannah? I need to find, let me find out where I was at. Oh yeah. So it's just like, it's escalating to just like, this is sex work.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that these people are crazy and it has real world problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, in video number 6, the University of San Diego administrators are auditing the students to point out their whiteness. They are criminalizing it. They're encouraging you to have sex, and they want you to be degenerate, disgusting, and they want you to violate your body and have no pride. And they also, in the very thing that you might be proud of, which is your Eurocentric history of what you've built, like, I don't know, modern science and important things that are awesome about being white, they're telling you to not only be afraid of white people, but you as yourself need to look at your own skin. Listen to this anti-white racism that very few people on the right will talk about because they're afraid of looking like the boogeyman, you know, some evil guy, when in reality, they are just being racist to white people. I have one of them works here. She beats me every day and she says, shut up, whitey. Shut up.
That's just reparations, hunty.
I come in and there's, she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't see you. The window's open behind you. There's no contrast.
I'm like, Elijah, why can I see all your veins? You're translucent.
Like, she always screams, like, there's a ghost in the house. And I'm like, uh-huh, it gets funnier every time. Okay, but listen to this. This is absolutely insane. Video number 8, if we can roll that.
So my name is Gabriella Wrongridge, and I'm a proud alumna and current administrator here at the University of San Diego. And my research is titled Understanding Whiteness and Anti-Racist Attitudes in Student Leaders here at USD. And one of the most influential points of my undergraduate career here at USD was what the impact that my student leader training had on my racial identity development, which is the reason why I wanted to engage in this research topic. And now in my professional career here at USD as our learning communities coordinator and advisor to one of our student leader groups, I wanted to see how I could have the same impact on our campus with the next generation of student leaders. So with that,
can we stop there real fast? So those of you that are not watching this, in her bio, it's like to stop whiteness at the school. They want to figure out like it's a crime. And she has her pronouns in the bio. Pronouns in the bio is the new blue hair. It's an easy way for somebody who doesn't dye their hair to know that they are a mentally unstable person, mm-hmm, who's controlled by the world and they have no independence. Like, hi, my name is Gabrielle Rajamarak. My pronouns are she, her.
My pronouns are tree tray. Thank you.
No, hit her. Hit her, him. Dude, we should just start speaking in pronouns and make a new language.
The pronouns in the bio are like the new like team baseball hat, right? Like you're running, you see someone else in a Dodger cap, you're like, hey, we're on the same team. That's awesome. And you feel like that brotherhood with them. That's what pronouns in the bio are.
Interesting.
Now, you see?
That's enlightening.
Mm-hmm, it's the way that you can identify who's on your team and who's a part of your group in the GAE.
Did you ever see that video of the guy who's like, this is a real video, who goes,
oh gosh,
how do you signal to people, now that you've been vaccinated, you're not wearing your mask, how do you signal to people that you're actually a liberal? And he was like, you walk, give me full screen. This is literally it. He does this. He's like, you're walking by them and you just go. And I was like, and he goes,
he was like,
now what if you got the Johnson & Johnson? You just might go like this. You might go like, and I was like, dude, sir, there were people who did that. There was a salute that they did during World War II to make sure that you knew you were with the party. There was this hand signal that they did. I'm not going to do it on air, but it was like a karate chop, but it was like you're about to smash a fly, but you held it a little longer at like a 60 degree angle. And they had that before. And it was a salute. They also had this thing, the red fist as well, which apparently I'm allowed to do, even though they killed more people communists did than fascists. But, you know, communism is much more dangerous than fascism. In many ways, but it's cool. Fascism. No, if you held Hitler, if you gave that salute here, the media matters. Even if I was just giving an example, would be like, he's a fascist. I can do the.
Sorry, I'm still stuck on this thing.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, all right,
but, what the hell?
Yeah, people are crazy, and the world is crazy, which is why I need to remind you, please always exercise your Second Amendment, but also realize that that Second Amendment is not just firearms, it's also body armor, because life is not always about shooting first. Sometimes it's protecting yourself from those stray bullets, like if you're partying in Austin on a weekend, and you never know when one of those young people are going to come around and start firing. If you own a firearm, or even if you don't, body armor is responsible. It's actually smart for you to have. It really is. Because many people don't know that body armor is also legal. And it's not hard to obtain. It's also easy to shop online and ship straight to your house. Very few restrictions across states on that. And it also lasts pretty much forever if you take care of it. You get 20% off the best body armor that I trust personally with my life. I've worn it all over the place. Most recently, I've worn it in Washington, D.C. I've also worn it to a protest here more recently. And you can get 20% off body armor by going to ar500armor.com/offensive. That's ar500armor.com/offensive, where you can find their body armor for about $100. You can find yourself fully suited. Get stuff for you and your family. Don't just be a prepper with food. Actually take yourself into mine. And remember, they also have concealed body armor as well. So that's really important. If you don't want something very big, Kevlar and plates rated for up to rifles. It's amazing. Get the armor that I trust, that we all trust, even a lot of my friends do. AR500armor.com/offensive to get 20% off their entire store. I really encourage you to check it out. Okay, so let's talk about this. These people with the pronouns, I love this. This is just ironic, but also it's like when you get a rude awakening of how the real world works. Kay Rambo was like, after my internship ended at the Oregonian last year, I didn't get a single interview until I stopped including my pronouns on my resume in cover letter. I think about that a lot when I see discussions about diversity in journalism and who gets a fair shake in the industry. The fact that she was working for the Oregonian does not surprise me. Yeah. And also, ma'am, life is not one big Antifa orgy commune.
Pronouns in the cover letter and the resume. Where do you even put your pronouns on your resume?
Do people still do cover letters?
I didn't think so. I forgot about it.
Do people still even apply for jobs? In this industry, no, it's
not
nepotism.
Not in Joe Biden's America.
And by the way, a lot of people want to know how you actually get hired in this industry. You have to just find a foot in. And the best way to do it is to go to events and meet people while you're drinking and stuff. You don't have to drink if you don't want to, but like go to like Trump Hotel, go to places, bump into people, talk to people, become their friends, develop things. Like that's kind of how I got into this industry too. Is just like,
it's about who you know, not what you know.
Not what you know. And you can be trained into anything.
Also, don't put your pronouns in your resume.
And if you put your pronouns, if you send me a resume with your pronouns,
if they were cool pronouns, maybe we'd consider it. Like maybe if the pronoun was like clown pill.
Do you know that my pronouns spell out cummer? And they have pre-approved ones, and I chose ones that spell out cummer on Instagram.
Me, every time you speak.
No, they're real pronouns. It's cum, C-O-M, / her, cummer.
I hate you so cum much her. Right now. I hate you.
Oh, Grandma, I'm so sorry.
Grandma, turn it off.
Remove my screen for a second because this. So the backwardsness of this all is, I want to find this tweet by, let's look at the backwards. Let's go to this article that Savannah found. This is how backwards journalists are the ones adding to this. So journalists are state extensions. They're extensions of the state. Yeah. And they're working for whatever the narrative of people working against us, the Americans. So we have the Americans and the GIE. The Civil War already happened. The split has already become. They've already conquered our land. And now we're minorities. And they start writing things as we've seen crime rates spike 5 to 800% on average across cities.
Mm-hmm.
Violent crime, that is. Los Angeles Times, at the paramount of what it means, I can't even hold
You're
up.
Just getting so worked up over the insanity of journalism.
Yeah, I need a liquid hydrator. This is what journalists do. They recall things. Instead of water, it's like, I need a liquid hydrator. It says LAPD shootings of unstable people.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, clearly, if you're involved in a police altercation and you're not complying, you are unstable. That's like understood. It's like,
yeah,
there was a car accident involving two drivers. And you're like, well, I mean, I'm assuming if there wasn't two drivers, that's very odd. If two cars. A little bit. So LAPD shootings of unstable people wielding sharp objects, a deadly problem. So,
and my favorite part about this article is that, of course, the deadly problem does not come from the unstable people wielding sharp objects. It's from the police shooting them.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so crazy ass people from Los Angeles, which is most people, mm-hmm. pulling out like machetes. I think a person has like a machete at police. That is the problem. The mental health of Americans, the lack of structure, of mobility, of want, the lack of transparency, the lack of credibility mm-hmm. in America is what's the problem. And they're like, I mean, just look at that title. LAPD shootings of unstable people wielding sharp objects, a deadly problem. I'd like to see what they're writing.
Oh, it's bad. It's not the best.
On a North Hollywood, let me see if I can zoom in here for our viewers. Sorry, my bad here. I didn't get that one. There you go. On a North Hollywood street last year, Los Angeles police officer Daniel Hardy watched through his rifle scope as 50-year-old Ramel Mendoza, I knew they would probably choose a white and a Hispanic opposite.
Of course.
Even though the LAPD is predominantly Hispanic, by the way, walked erratically toward him on a line of other officers waving a sword. Oh, it's a sword! That's the sharp object.
It's just a sword, no big deal.
And holding the lid of a cooking pan like a shield. This is actually...
kind of lit.
This is based. Like, this is, like, confront the police with a pan and a sword. Like, ah! Mendoza, who lived on the
block. Let's go!
Yeah. He's like, he lived on the block, seemed confused after being confronted at home by two officers investigating a report that he had hit a neighbor's car with a stick. Mendoza's family said he was sobbing, screaming, muttering incoherently, and clearly needed help. Again and again, Mendoza slowly advanced. Hardy lifted his gaze to a white SUV parked between them. Basically, at a certain point... let me keep reading this. Slowly advanced. Hardy lifted his gaze to a white SUV parked between them, which he guessed was 20 to 30 feet away, he said. His LAPD training taught him that such distances could be closed by suspects with edged weapons.
Edged weapons.
The guillotine is an edged weapon, and look at how that worked out for the French nobility, okay? So let's talk about this. Such as knives or swords, in a matter of seconds, putting officers in imminent danger, Hardy said. When Mendoza got to the SUV, Hardy fatally shot him in the chest. Okay, yes. So a guy approached him with a pan and a sword. Yes, and he got shot. There's nothing to see here.
And the
Move
cop
on.
Is in the wrong, because as a man, a grown mentally ill man is charging at you with a sword, if you protect yourself or the community who called you, you're the one in the wrong. And Lige, if you scroll down, there's probably like three paragraphs below that. It says, well, LAPD shootings have dramatically declined in recent decades. Scrutiny has grown in recent months around shootings like Mendoza's, where mentally ill, intoxicated, or homeless people are shot by police while armed, not with firearms, but with knives, swords, heavy tools, or other blunt objects.
Yeah, deadly weapons.
It's like, you know how they outlawed guns in London, so everyone just started stabbing each other?
Remember when that shaman just walked into the Capitol with an edged weapon?
Yeah. An edged object.
With an edged object?
Yeah.
Well, it didn't work out well for him. He's in solitary confinement, treated like a terrorist, even though I think they said he's just like an autistic guy who was calling for peace and who I've interviewed extensively before.
Yeah, can we like rephrase this headline? Like FBI jailings of unstable people wielding sharp objects, a deadly problem.
Yeah, it is a deadly problem. And that's what I'm saying with the way that we're being gaslit. That Jack Posobiec, this is the right one. Is that, look, so when we get the truth out, and this is how we start beating their narrative, Savannah, we beat the narrative. Mm-hmm. We know that the people attacking Asians, your people, the Curry children.
Me and the Andy Noes of the world.
Yeah, I love Andy No.
Me too.
What a He's sweetheart. So sweet. I really like him a lot.
Me too.
He's really just a good person. But, you know, and he's just really, nobody's documenting the far left like he is. And I'm grateful for his work. And that's why they don't accept him. Because you know why? They won't try to discredit your reputation until you're actually covering things that hurt theirs. That's why. So, that's why. But he said this. So people started figuring out, it wasn't white. Merrick Garland was like, white people are the biggest threat. And people started seeing videos. I'm going to leave this on the screen, but go ahead and play like this. We started playing videos.
I know which video you want me to play. Like this.
Like this.
One?
Like you see this going on here, and you see that.
Oh no!
You see that? Do we have any type of looting going on in San Francisco? Look, he's laughing. Look at that young boy laughing. I told you the young people are out of control. Did you see that?
I did.
I told you he was on the floor, out of control, laughing. And I see that's a pattern with the youth. He said they're out of control.
And then in San Francisco, we have
where it's legal to loot. The security is just trying to pull his bag off.
Security and the guy, standing there recording everything.
And he's just walking out with a bag full of loot.
Mm-hmm.
There's another out of control young person. This is a pattern in cities. I'm seeing in cities where a lot of people are millennials and Gen Z. This kind of behavior is common and it's very violent and it's unpredictable. More of this. Another young person. Is there something about adolescence that just is correlated with committing crimes and not following civil order? I don't know.
Yeah, I just feel like this type of behavior does not belong in civil society.
You're young, though. Why aren't you behaving like this? Why am I not behaving like this?
Because we were raised.
Raised well.
Yeah.
We had fathers.
We did have fathers.
And a lot of young people are known to be out of control because they don't have fathers in the home, amongst many other variables that will get us kicked off of YouTube if we make fun of young people because they're minors, and everyone knows as an adult, cyberbullying Chrissy Teigen, you can't attack the youth.
Yeah, unless you're an Asian celebrity.
I'm not going to cyberbully young people. That's just rude.
Yeah.
But there are truthful things. Well, NBC decided that in backwards world that we live in today, mm-hmm. the GAE, in their daily propaganda, was like, viral images show people of color as anti-Asian perpetrators. Okay, it's not people of color. It's just actually their age is the most important thing. They're always young, mm-hmm. okay? At this show, they're young.
No, well, in regards to the Asian hate crimes, they're not always young. But
they are all black.
Yeah, they are all black.
Unfortunately, that is...
Not all black. Sometimes there's like a Muslim person or a Hispanic person.
Black people don't really like Asians in the city, and Asians don't really like black people. And that's just something nobody talks about. But being from LA, there's a lot of tension between the Asians and the black people. That's a real thing.
We saw that with Rodney King.
And Asians are submissive. Mm-hmm. Asians are very, they're very submissive to authority. That's built into their, that is how they even run things. And so it's like black people are very dominant, and these attackers are, because they're young and muscly, are very aggressive related to their age specifically. And that aggression and that sort of push, Asians often don't fight back and they just feel scared and they just get beat up. And it's really sad to watch. And I know, so NBC, instead of being like, hey, Asian people, there's a real problem, says the fact that everyone sees that black people are the ones attacking the Asians, this misses the big picture. A new analysis reveals misconceptions about perpetrators, victims, and the general environment around anti-Asian hate incidents. This can be a long-term consequences for racial solidarity, researcher Janelle Wong said.
The evidence
about the hate crimes counteracts the narrative about the hate crimes, and that's the problem.
I'm sorry, didn't Project Veritas expose a CNN director for saying that they specifically wouldn't report on black shootings, only white shootings, and they wouldn't report on the bad stories about BLM that made the entire organization look bad?
Yeah, they did. Can you take this off the screen? Because I totally lost in my notes here for a second. But people are fighting back. As I mentioned, I want to mention this. Twitter is now not only banned in Nigeria, but people are fighting back against the people. Bring this full circle. All this madness is happening, but people are starting to be like, look, we're not going to sit back and take this. Mm-hmm. When I was not talking to Alex Jones, I wasn't talking to him yesterday. He was telling me that it's been from Wasserman Schultz and some of the people at the World Economic Forum, mm-hmm. we're planning for the world to be run by tech companies and not by their governments, by delegitimizing the celebrity of the politicians, aka putting in someone like Biden that no one cares about, making politics boring and uninteresting while tech companies hold the real power. That is, a lot of nations see that as true. So the governments are fighting back, Nigeria banning them. Even India now is willing to sue Twitter and making them held liable for their content because they wouldn't comply with the country's laws. Twitter would not comply with the country's laws. They were operating in a country and would not work in their laws because they think that in America, because they operate outside of our laws, that they can get away with it in every country. And people are like, no, you can't do this. You can't give cupcakes to one kid and not another simply based on their sexuality. You can't discriminate based on that.
And then Twitter turns around and is like, but cupcakes are a human right.
Yeah. No, so Twitter works outside of country's laws, and India is saying, no, we're fighting back. And people are, like that teacher getting fired. We need to fight back. And we need, these tech companies hold more power than the U.S. government, and they control who's in the government. And that's why Biden's boring. It is on purpose. And Kamala, they pull low. It's a slap in the face. It's to let you know that the tech companies control everything and you don't, which is why we need to continue to spread this show. Please share this video. If you're a regular viewer of the show and you haven't subscribed already, that's very weird to me. Wherever you're watching this, on Odyssey, on Rumble, on YouTube, on Facebook, if you do not follow and subscribe, you don't hit the notification button. Why? It makes no sense. Get these videos. They come out every Wednesday and Friday. We try to get them out around 3 p.m. Central. We just have issues sometimes, and it can get a little later. But an episode will come out every Wednesday or Friday by the evening. I promise you that. It will, unless there's an emergency. Anyway, like I mentioned, please continue to support the show by leaving a 5-star review. Also, please continue to support us at blazetv.com/Elijah, where we're going to begin subscriber-only content, which I'm really excited about. We're going to do weird stuff. We're even considering working on a vaccine special as well. Mm-hmm. That's just for you guys who are there. Go to blazetv.com/Elijah. That's blazetv.com/Elijah to become a member, and please support the show. Become an SOB, a slightly offensive backer. We're also working on the platform, I know, in the app, so that we can do more interactive stuff long-term. And so if you're subscriber, it's going to be getting better soon, and you're going to have more interaction. Anyway, if you leave that 5-star review, not only does it help us out, but it might get read on air. Two things of number of service here. Number one, we have a review from the Cabal HD, the most diverse show available. Fact check true. Been a blind viewer and YouTube viewer since the onset of these most recent riots. You have been instrumental in helping me realize my own coming out as a fellow disabled lesbian woman of color. Welcome to the fam. The Cabal HD. Keep it up, heart said, the best in the business. Y'all make the following the news easy and entertaining, keeping me informed and patriotic as a rising freshman in high school. Nice. That's a young view. That's,
I love when high schoolers watch our show.
Me too.
It's my favorite.
Me too.
That's why I always put the high schooler reviews in, because shout
gonna
out
figure
to them.
Out, I'm going to figure out a discount code for students. Like, I'm going to figure out a better discount code for merch and stuff, because I don't make the merch, and so I can't like give it out for free, but like I'm going to figure out if there's a way we can get students to get cheaper merch, because that's really, I want you guys to be able to rep at your school.
Yes.
Also, if that's you, keep it up with the heart. If you email Savannah, her email will be in the bio. If that's you and you're watching this, we'll send you something free that you want from our merch store specifically. But y'all make following the news easy and entertaining, keeping me informed and patriotic. As a rising freshman in high school, looking up to a strong, independent, conservative woman like Sav is awesome and keeps me to help confident. Love you guys. Keep it up. And Sav will give you something from her, and she'll give it to you. That's really awesome. Thank you for watching always. Anyway, my name is Elijah Schaefer, the host of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV with 8K graphics. Broadcasting out of the broom closet here in Dallas, Texas. I'm joined by Savannah Hernandez, who's as lovely as ever. Please feel free to follow her on YouTube as well. You can follow all of our social media. Literally, you can click our link trees below. You can follow us. We're everywhere. We're trying to be. I'm also on Telegram, and she's on Telegram. We're just everywhere. It's hard to keep it up, but we're there. Have a great rest of the week, and don't forget to look out for that special that's not happening with Alex Jones. May God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.